Blog Talk Radio.
Head over the end.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History, a show dedicated to serving the underserved communities. And always, we'd like to bring you hot topics and news that you can use. And we have a history of speaking truth to power. And to get this program started, as usual, we'd like to welcome our analysts and our contributors of Missing Pages of History, Emmanuel and Susie. Welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Welcome. Thank you.
Hello.
Okay. Now, this has been a very interesting week. We're talking about hot topics and news people can use. One of the big stories nationally, and we'd like to get your spin on it, Emmanuel, and your perception and response from Susie, is on this recent election that took place throughout the country. How would you describe, how would you categorize the results of the election and what it means in the future for underserved communities and people, Emmanuel?
Well, to put it all in perspective, the midterm elections, most of the time, they're not up to par as far as voting concerned. People just don't come out that much for mid elections unless they got a personal agenda or being basically dedicated to their parties to a certain extent. These races took across in governorships, Senate races, district races, judges, this type of thing. A lot of referendums on the ballots, and some were very, very stiff on the ballots. And we voted basically accordingly, Democrats and Republicans. But my spin on it is that the Democrats sort of ran away from achievements. If they had advertised the Democratic administration's achievements while they've been in office and basically described the Republicans, what they have not done at all, I mean, a non-working party, and of course the extreme, they would have won with ease. But they got characterized, and the character assassination of President Obama, he was not on the ballot. And this what the Republicans ran on, President Obama, who won 65 million votes, one of the most popular presidents ever been for getting the popular votes, over 65 million. And the Republicans still call him unpopular when he's popular. So they lie a lot. That is their agenda, first of all, is not to tell the truth. The second thing is to hate. And the third thing is to manipulate the public and manipulate the voters. The fourth thing they do is suppress the vote where they can. Fifth thing, they redistricting, gerrymandering things and making do certain things right, not doing things right, basically. But they think they're doing things right. So it is still the same old thing. We're racially divided. Most of their concepts and ideas, what they talk about basically is very racially charged, and they know it is. And they're the one that keeps the country divided, nobody else but them. And they want to make sure they want to keep that base they have. The Tea Party basically runs the Republican Party. That is the standard. They say no, but it's yes. And, of course, they come out lying from the beginning when they won most of the seats. They took over the Senate and, of course, already got the House of Representatives. Now, they controlled everything. Basically, we're going to see what they're going to do. Now, they come with some partisan mess, then the president's going to be vetoing it. They know this. But all the crazy stuff they're going to come with, they're going to come with some crazy stuff. And the first thing they said, they want to basically repeal the Affordable Care Act. Over 10 million people have signed up for it. Over 10 million. What are they going to do? Do something with that? They talk about law. Well, the Supreme Court okayed it and everything else. So it passed there, passed the House, passed the Senate. So what are we talking about? Why are we repealing this for the 55th time? That's just craziness. Just wasting taxpayers' money. And that's all they do is waste money. The shutdown cost us $24 billion. Wasted money. And the Democrats should have talked about this when they were running. But they were so busy running from Obama, in a sense, because they thought people don't, because Republicans put so much out there and money-wise about President Obama. Every person that ran, Republican, talked about Obama. He wasn't on the ballot. Well, the majority of the people that vote, of course, are Caucasians or European Americans. They're the ones that vote. They're the top, you know. So it don't take many, you know, for them to get what they want to get, because they're the majority. But it would have been by redistricting and gerrymandering the state legislature. They're going to get what they want. And the whole thing, make sure that they stay in control, control the pocketbook, and make sure they get paid. I don't care what you say, the whole thing is about who getting paid. So the basic thing is to make sure that power lies in the dollar. And that's what they go after, the dollar. Nothing else but the dollar. It's a capitalist country. The dollar is the almighty here, people like it or not. And racism is the almighty here, again, and religion. So the three things equals capitalism: race, racism, religion equals capitalism. And there's very, you know, there's a lot of tentacles, of course, to capitalism. It's about control, first of all, and suppression. That's number one, and oppression. So understand what is happening. For the future of the underserved, they're coming as far as they can to get you. They don't care about the poor whites or the poor Caucasians, the poor European Americans. They don't care about them. They got them all bundled together. With African Americans, with Asians, everybody, Hispanics all together. So they really don't care. The longer they keep the 2% of the wealth, you know, 2% of the, basically 77% of the wealth that's in America, basically, that's where they're going to stay. The 2% going to control 77% of the wealth. They're going to make sure CEOs average almost $11 million a year, and they don't want to raise the minimum wage. They think people can live off $7.50 an hour. Let them try it. Give them people in Congress $7.50 an hour, except for the work they do in Congress, the day they're there. Make them punch clocks. So you see what they do, and they'll see what it feels like. But you're getting $107,000, $8,000 a year and don't have to show up for work and take 5 weeks off of vacation, play golf, and just come on, just rattling rhetoric on radios and TV shows and be extreme with your views. This is what they want. They want nothing else. It's just an extension of slavery. Nothing else. Their politics are the same. The ideology is going to be the same. It's going to stay like it. This is the way. It's separate but not equal. And they're going to keep it this way. They're going to keep it this way as long as they can. We got to get them out of power. And we got to really talk about them, things they haven't achieved. And let's talk about what the president has achieved. He's achieved a lot of things. And that's what we got to talk about. What he has achieved.
Speaking of this question of getting people out of power, Emmanuel, and listening to some of the statements he just made, I was recently this week reading two articles that ties into the discussion, this whole electoral democratic concept that we talk about in America, with this concept of democracy. I'm reading two articles, and based upon what you said, you seem to be sort of supporting what these articles were stating. And this is what they stated, and I'd like to have your response to it. One article out of RSN newsletter, there was a research done by the Abilene Schools on the influence on this democracy here. Was not how much the everyday common person has really influenced in this process. And what they came to find out based upon their research was that basically those who have wealth, the 10 to 20% of those who are wealthy, are basically the ones who are having all of the major influence. They said very little of what working class, rank and file, or poor person has on the influence of making policies in this country. And matter of fact, they have concluded that really it's the 1% of the wealth that actually make all of the major influence. And their position was that not until some kind of way they can find a way to get money out of the equation in this political process, that it will continue to stay that way. So what is your response to that? Do you agree with that assessment based on that research, or are there other factors that can really truly allow the common person to have some real legitimate influence on this process as it relates to policy making? Because all the policies are geared toward the interests of the rich and the wealthy. And they spend more money, more time into investing money in politics than the working class and the poor. So I found that really interesting. I'd like to have your response to that.
Well, there was quite a few assertions that you made there, Carla. When you look at how the system is broken down, it's broken down into states, to state legislatures, then it's broken down into districts, it's broken down to mayors, you got governors. So the way the government is broken down into these many tentacles, that's very difficult to get control from the people who have control. The 2% of this country has 77% of the wealth. I don't have flat numbers out having multimillionaires there, but I put it in this perspective. New York has more millionaires than African Americans have in the whole country. We have 35,000 millionaires that are African American, assets about $4 million. That include, you know, house furniture, you know, money, whatever, you know, insurance, all this kind of stuff. So $4 million. It's not cash. Not all cash is assets. It's based on assets. And New York, now you got 49 more states left. And New York has more than all the African American millionaires in this country. Okay? And they average over $10 million. We average 4 assets. So when you look at that, it's very hard to wrestle the power, because again, they're making more districts, putting you in one district basically. Accumulating one district, African American. So to make an example of that, we just had a new district here in Greensboro. I never had representation because of the gerrymandering and because of the redistricting. We just got a lady go to Congress. I think she's a former professor at Bennett. She's probably the only PhD in Congress right now. She's a professor at Bennett College, I think, for 30 years or whatever. So when you look at that, we come with education. We come with everything. But education is not the power. We got that all wrong. Education is not the power. The power is in the business ownership. Who owns? The power of ownership. When we own less than 2% of the businesses in America, Caucasians, European Americans, they own 98% of the businesses. In the Willie Lynch letter, it says, make sure we supply all their needs. And that's what they're doing. So we need to go to them for everything. And that's what they said. Make sure they bring the money to us. Make sure that, so that's the control. And they're keeping that control by making policy, putting things on referendum. They're making things redistricting, making the House of Representatives control the purse strings, and that's Republican. So it's just an extension of slavery in its modern form today. This is the key. I can give you a lot of examples where the power will not be in the on the privilege of the people being served, because they're not going to let these things get to the ballot. Like the House of Representatives didn't vote on certain things that President Obama put out there. They didn't come to the floor for a vote. See, this is the power. didn't bring up minimum wage, didn't bring up reform and immigration, didn't even put it on the table. But they're saying Obama's holding it up. So when you look at the power to be, the Republican Party, which ran by basically the Tea Party, that they're liars, number one. They're very untruthful. Again, they want to get what they want to get on the ballot. They will fight tooth and nail to their base. Because this is still a racial divide country. Once you've been a slave, and you were not, you're not basic in the Constitution, it was a piece of chattel, a piece of property, still not viewed as who you are. So we use these words, on the privilege, on the serve. We have to stop using these terms. We have to stand up. And we don't stand up. We back up all the time through intimidation. They intimidate you all the time because we're afraid to say something back to them that basically deserves them. When racism, if you know, raises ugly heads, say so. But we're afraid. Well, both parties, it's not both parties, it's one party, Republican Party, say it. But they're afraid. Very ambiguous. That's why the Democrats lost, because they were very ambiguous. They didn't talk about the achievements of the president and during his administration and what they have done. They didn't talk about none of that. They're just so busy running away. But they understood that this man won 65 million votes. That means the American people want him. So when there's a small capsule in the state, and the states basically are, you know, populist to, you know, European Americans. We have one state, I think, over 30% African American. Well, you got, you know, that's true. But let's qualify that, what I just said. Third, like North Carolina, 27%. Of the 27%, 15% can't vote because they're children. When they say that, so you don't qualify what they say. And we don't do it. I'm qualifying it. When you said 27% of the state is African American, how many are under 18 years of age? They said, you don't have that type of votes. We got 19 million votes basically registered. And again, with in some states, you're a felon, you can't vote. Well, that sort of hurts us too. Then some of us don't get out to vote, just don't vote, don't believe in, you know, and voting. So you got all that involved. So we can't basically elect anybody, basically. We just don't have the population. Understand that. So that's why for Democrats, they straddle the road. They straddle. President Obama has to straddle. We don't have 65 million black folk voting in this country. We got about 19 million. So we can't, you know, we can help put them in, but we can't put them there. So you need 45 million European Americans to vote for him, too. And Hispanics and Asian, everybody else to vote for him. They're very small. Hispanics are a little bit larger, but voting is not as large. But the big thing is because that's why they want the immigration law to pass. Republicans wanted it to pass because then they felt they're going to go Democratic. So they got to keep pushing one agenda to keep the power, keep the money, keep the ownership and everything else, and make laws to protect them and protect their power, taxation, everything else. Once you control the money, when election come around, money talks. People listen to money. They buy votes all different types of ways. Backlash, everything else. Bush went and got the churches. Remember that? Bush went and got the churches. And what he did was, so when T.D. Jakes got up and gave him $75,000, gave most of the ministers about $75,000 in their pocket, lying in their pockets, then that is your consortium out there, that is your people out there in your church, they figure they'll vote for Bush. That's why Texas the way it is.
Let me stop you right there for a second, Emmanuel.
Okay.
And let our listening audience know that you are listening to Missing Page of History. We are doing a critique and having a dialogue on this recent midterm election. We welcome all our supporters and people to call in as we discuss this hot topic. They can call in at 818-337-0016. At 818-337-0016. Okay, let's continue the discussion. And we also have our contributor with us and Susie. I'd like to stop for a second and bring her in at this time. And Susie, I'd like to get your general assessment of this recent election, midterm election. What did you think about it? And how do you see it impacting the various underserved communities and people?
Well, one thing for sure, thank goodness Gillespie finally conceded to Senator Warner, which Warner's been in the senator for a while, which he's done a lot for this state of Virginia, so he wants to continue a lot of the things that he started, so he'll get that completion. But it was a hard-fought race because he only won by like 1.5% or whatever, which was just enough that Gillespie couldn't fight it to have them to do a recall. So I think as a whole, most Virginians that voted for Warner are pleased that he finally announced that he would be the senator for our state.
And they are the state of Virginia, you said, right?
Yes.
Okay, okay. In terms of throughout the nation, they claim to have basically a majority of Republican victories. How do you see these victories by the Republican Party, how it may impact on underserved communities? What is your expectation for the next 2 years in terms of what you think may take place and how the people may deal with it?
I think the next 2 years is going to really be rough because of the fact how they do tend to go against everything that President Obama wants. But I think what happens is that the Democrats that are there are going to have to try to put things out there to let people what it is that they do want to do for the average person so that when it comes up to the 2016 vote, that hopefully we can regain some power there and get some things done. But I don't think it's going to happen. But nothing's going to really happen to really benefit us in this next 2 years.
Okay. To again, you're listening to Missing Pages of History. You're welcome to call in, get your views and perspectives, but down 818-337-0016. We acknowledge your last four numbers. You must dial in and hit number one if you have any views and comments. Back to you, Emmanuel. In terms of your last point that you made, and then we'd like to go to another hot topic, but it's something I'd like to get you to respond to based on your last response. You sound like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Recently, this week on November the 5th, ISM newsletter to interview him on this whole question of this democratic process that takes place every year, every 4 years, every 2 years in this country. And he wrote an article being very critical of this democratic process. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar stated, and I'm paraphrasing him, he said, politicians of today is more threatening to the democratic process of democracy than ISIS. He said they are a bigger threat to America than ISIS is. And one of the points he alluded to was that he said most of these politicians are not patriots. They do not care anything about this country. They are looting and robbing this country. And they are doing it by all kinds of lies, deceit, etc. And he don't see that being healthy. He said this is the biggest threat to America's so-called democracy. How would you respond to that critique by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Emmanuel?
Well, you got to put everything in perspective again. When you compare our country with ISIS, I wouldn't make that comparison because ISIS is just a terrorist group with 40 or 50,000 people. We're talking about 315 million people. So that's a bad comparison. Now, talking about what you were saying about the politicians, what they're doing here, basically, you're upon a capitalistic regime. That's mainly, ISIS is mainly a Muslim regime. Kareem is a Muslim. So when you look at the thought process, you're talking about a person, basically, you're talking about the European book, the Bible, you're talking about the Quran. Well, his thought process will be in this, you might say, in this box. I believe with some of the things he's saying, yes. Because we have an English or European type government. That means you're going to have the poor, the middle class, and the rich. You're going to have oppression, and you're going to have oppression. And this the way it's going to be, because you got to have the have and the have-nots. That's the only way a capitalistic system works. Capitalism works basically, well, the tenets offer three things: race, religion, racism equals capitalism. You need all three of those to play a hand in capitalism: race, racism, and religion. Those three things. So we call ourselves down the South the Bible Belt. See, that's the religion. So I'm trying to qualify what I just said when I said religion. Then you got the Catholics up north, basically. Then you got the, you might say, the isolation of the Mormons. You got the Episcopalians. You got different religions. That's why they came here, to have religious freedom. So religion's got to be a part of the equation of communism. I mean, not communism, capitalism. It's got to be a part of that. See? So these three things make up capitalism. And what Kareem was saying basically was, capitalism is the ultimate of the three. But how do we buffer off of those three? Off of race, well, white supremacy. Off of race, African Americans, make sure they stay at the third tier. Hispanics, make sure they stay the fourth tier. Native Americans, the fifth tier. Make sure the Asians become second tier. And, of course, whites are the first tier. So you got to have caste system. And this is what he's talking about, the caste system. That's what I call it, basically. So it's not going to be, but wait, this is the path the Republican Party is taking. And to be a democracy, and you might say a republic government at the moment is what it is. Watch what they do these next 2 years. Watch the obstruction. You're going to see it like you never saw it before. Because the bottom line is this. You're not going to have the slave, which is President Obama, telling the owners what to do. That is just the bottom line. That's why the pigmentation of his skin, they're not going to have that. It's the slave and the slave owner who owns who. It's got been reversed now. The slave is telling the slave owner what to do. And that's not going to happen. They're not going to. That's why they're obstructing. They upset it in a certain amount of ways. They really don't care what they say, because they know you're not going to talk back. They know you're not going to talk back. Just like a slave, we couldn't talk back. So we don't talk back. We're Democrat. If African Americans were Republicans, they would be Democrat doing the same thing. We sway the pendulum. It's all about us. Make sure they keep us down in some type of way. The average European American, when they pass away, when they die, or they expire, $135,000 average what they got. We got less than $6,000. Look at the disparity. Disparity is all about numbers, and we hate math. I love math. Because numbers make it work. When you don't have numbers, you just got rhetoric. They don't pay rhetoric no mind. That's why the Republicans do what they do. Well, they form the Tea Party. Why can we can't form maybe the Coffee Party? And do what we need to do. That's what they did. But it takes finance. See, finance runs this country. Money runs this country. Capitalism is run by money. So the big, you know, race, which is white, black, that's what you got. Everything is white and black, black and white. When they do the almanac, is black and white. How many blacks in prison opposed to white? Everything is black, whether you like it or not. So the race card is here every day. And we got to understand that. And don't be scared to call it out. Everything is a race card here. It's never going to be anything different. I read an article in ESPN magazine, the governor, Bob Barr. He said to keep white supremacy, if they had to hang every Negro, they would do it to keep it. Is that something to say? See, we don't. That's an ESPN magazine, a sport magazine. This, they put stuff everywhere, and I get a hold of it. Because you put it in a book, I'll find it. But ain't nobody said nothing. They're not challenging that. That's something to say. To keep white supremacy in Mississippi, the governor, former senator, he said, if we need to hang every Negro to keep white supremacy, we'll do it. So this is what we're talking about. Yes, there's division. You can always going to have it. We don't even know why we're black. But that's the deal. We got to stand.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We're not telling you, man. I just want to give a summary, a one-minute summary, just on the overview and the makeup and the impact that you think this past midterm election will have. I start with you, Susan. One-minute summary. Your final thoughts on this theme tonight.
So that they did that's not going to really be any changes when it comes to helping the underserved and unprivileged people of America. It's not going to be any change.
And what's your view, Emmanuel? Final thoughts.
Be much of a change in anything. They're going to say they're going at certain things. They're going to try to cut Social Security. They're going to try to cut pension. They're going to try to cut benefits on different jobs. They're going to get rid of the unions and everything else. The whole thing is that, see, the thing is we've got to understand one thing. We're paying two people, basically. We're paying the fire department guy to retire 30 years serving, paying a new guy to come in with the same money. So you got to have taxes to do what you need to do. You're paying a retired police officer, everyone that's working. You're paying the chief, and all of them get promoted. To get promoted, to make sure they maximize what they're going to get when they retire, they can go to Florida with 19 million people there, retirement, getting $60,000 to $70,000 a year. So most blacks retire with less than $10,000. So on the Social Security, for average black person, $760 per month, and average white is over $1,400. So these are the problems. This is on the privilege, on the SERB, Medicaid. They won't try to appeal the Affordable Care Act. So this is what they're coming at, and this, of course, who falls in that particular category? You know, mainly, you know, majority African Americans, of course, the majority of white, for as numbers concerned. So again, they got the numbers, but how much you hurt? Most of them don't vote either. Most of the African Americans vote 40% more than white America, but you talk about 13% of the population. That's all we are. We're what, 41 million people, and our only 19 million can vote. Whoa. That's a huge problem. So we don't have the population for the underserved and underprivileged to make a lot because, again, the states, again, are controlled by Republican legislatures, and they're going to make sure that their people get paid. They're going to make sure they got 10, 11, 12 layers of administration to take the money when the money come in. The whole thing is to take the money that the government put out there. They talk about the government, too much government. It's not too much government. They get all the money. They get all the government contracts. They overprice them, everything else. They get paid. The whole thing is they get paid. And they talk that craziness, but the government basically created 90 million jobs. You think, and all high-priced jobs. Not jobs that, you know, you get the low jobs. You do the cleanup. You dust the furniture. They get the one that pays money. The six-figure job, they get those. They're going to make them six figures whether they like it or not. So understand that. The underprivileged, underserved is just an extension of slavery. You're going to still do the same thing. 6% of African Americans do service jobs. 66% do service jobs. Only 5% of us got jobs that pays more than $60,000 a year.
And on that note, we're going to have to stop Emmanuel and Susie. I'd like to thank you for sharing your perspective today on Missing Pages of History, and we gave a critique for the big elections. And to our listening audience, we always like to thank you for allowing us to come to your home. And you can catch us on every other Saturday, same time, same station. We'll see you back on November the 15th. We also would like to remind you that it's still not too late to purchase your raffle tickets. We have our fourth quarterly raffle drawing coming up. November 15th, you can hear it live at 1 p.m. on WCLM. And if you'd like to support this program and the building of Missing Pages of History, we encourage you to send all contributions to P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Until next time, let's continue to strive to go forward ever, backwards ever. We thank you. This has been Missing Pages of History. Bye-bye.